The sun is low on the horizon on a lush and brilliant South African morning. The hills in the distance shimmer with 100 shades of green. On a dirt footpath paralleling a dusty rural road outside of Durban, two men approach each other from opposite directions. Their history could be the history of men and women meeting on dusty roads anywhere in the world. Each man brings a tribal heritage or past that includes at least one violent chapter. Today, as they near the point of intersection, each is aware of the past difficulties between their tribes, and there is an instant of anxiety. The moment passes quickly, replaced by something much larger. As the men pause for a moment of greeting, the harsh history of the conflict between their clans and the more recent and equally harsh shared memories of apartheid become simply background for their wide smiles and heartfelt salutations. "Sawabona," says the first. "I see you." "Saikona," replies the second. "I am here." And with this simple exchange, they bring each other into existence, for it is their belief that a person is a person only through human connection, through recognition of one another. In this magic moment, one member of the human race has acknowledged another, and an ancient African philosophy comes to life, a philosophy that is stronger than past conflicts and more powerful than the pain of apartheid, the unifying spirit of Ubuntu. Ubuntu, the ancient African philosophy that draws on the fact that we are one human family. We are brothers and sisters traveling this earth together. When one man is poorly fed, all are malnourished. When one is abused, we all feel the pain. When a child suffers, the tears wash over us all. By recognizing the humanity of one another, we recognize our unbreakable bond, our unbreakable link to the whole of humanity. Bullseye Financial Center, Barrington, Illinois. West on US 90 from Chicago, just before the exit to Elgin, lies the once sleepy farming town of Barrington, where horses and other agricultural animals now share the land with office buildings. With Chicago's urban sprawl approaching the Wisconsin border, Barrington became the home of a variety of corporate campuses and assorted office complexes. The tallest of the new buildings is the Bullseye Financial Center, where the financial operations of Bullseye have been consolidated. Bullseye, a large global retailer employing over 200,000 men and women in hundreds of locations, sells virtually every item imaginable for the home and the home occupant. If you wear it, sit on it, wash dishes or clothing with it, watch it, or use it as a tool, you can find it at Bullseye. Or you can lease it, mortgage it, or insure it at a convenient Bullseye financial kiosk. Among the operations housed in the financial center are the leasing division, the mortgage group, and the employee financial products department. On the 22nd floor, Barb Robbins was stewing. Her staff had informed her that the applications received from the credit department were incomplete. Again, she thought. John Peterson, manager of the credit department, had been one of her best employees when he worked for her. He was reliable and hardworking and rarely made a mistake. Because of his strong work ethic and the quality of his work, she recommended him for a promotion when a new manager's position was created during the recent consolidation. Credit was John's specialty, and so it seemed like a natural for him to manage the credit group. "I did it to myself," Barb thought, eyeing the disappointing results from John's group. She couldn't fault her decision. John had been an outstanding employee and a good person as well. "I remember how passionate he was when he talked about his family and the work he was doing with physically challenged children. His brother had cerebral palsy, so he knew firsthand about the challenge of such a debilitating disability. He gave tirelessly of himself. But for some reason, as a manager, he seems to have lost his way. He has lost some of that camaraderie as well. I can't let the substandard work in his department go. My customers are being affected. But before I take this to Nancy, I'm going to talk to him face to face. I owe him that much. Barb's group was one of five internal finance groups served by John's credit team. Her department had scheduled closings with customers whose applications rested incomplete in the cart. She was facing the real possibility of disappointing those customers. Barb had worked at Bullseye through all kinds of markets, but the recent financial meltdown was the most devastating she'd ever seen. Everyone at the company was under pressure these days to make his or her numbers, and her clients were especially jumpy with the recent erosion of their retirement savings and the value of their homes. Their confidence in everything financial was fragile at best. She did not want to add to their stress with delays. She headed for the elevator and rode up two floors, pushing a file cart full of rejected applications before her. She knocked on the open door of John's office and was startled by his appearance. A meticulous dresser, John looked like he had slept in his clothing. His eyes were bloodshot. "John, what's wrong?"
"Hi, Barb. I'm sorry. I know I look terrible. Come on in. How are you doing? I don't see you much anymore. Do you have plans for the long Memorial Day weekend?"
"We are staying at home this weekend. I would love to socialize, John, but I have something I need to discuss with you."
"I know why you are here, Barb. I'm just sick about the sloppy work my department has given you. Ralph has already been up here, and I expect to see Tanya and the other group leaders soon. Or perhaps they went straight to Nancy. I have asked the staff to stay around and help clean up the mistakes, but most just put their heads down and mumbled something about holiday plans."
Barb was concerned about John's appearance. He looked terrible, but felt that she had to steel herself for what was to follow.